Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. Proudly sitting in for Del Walmsley, I'm Mike Harrison, and yes, we are always working on your financial freedom. Welcome to the show. Today, I've got a guest. His story is all about transformation, grit, and the power of education. Brian Brown is a full-time electrician from San Jose, California, Lifestyles Unlimited member, husband, father of three, and a real estate investor who's built a portfolio of single-family homes and passive multifamily investments across multiple states. Brian started in 2017 with two rentals and soon realized he can go much further, much faster. Since joining Lifestyles Unlimited in 2018, Brian has used the 1031 exchange, leveraged hard money, and completely changed the financial trajectory of his life and his family's future. His kids are even co-owners in some of the deals. Imagine that. If you've ever thought real estate investing was only for the wealthy or some sort of super complicated endeavor, Brian's story will show you that's simply not true. Let's welcome Brian to the show. Brian, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
I appreciate you having me.
Brian, where I want to go, take us back. What drew you into real estate investing, and how'd you get started while still working full-time? I was working full-time myself when I started.
Yeah, so my grandpa was doing rental properties all the time, and I saw him doing it in Idaho, and I thought, you know, I'm gonna buy a house and just kind of follow what he's doing. I've been listening to Del for about 10 years, and just kind of figured real estate sounded good, so I might as well jump in.
10 years, okay. I was gonna ask you later how long after you heard Del before you joined Lifestyles Unlimited. I listened to him a long time myself. So you heard Del on the radio show. 10 years, what finally shifted your mindset to say, you know what, I'm gonna jump into this real estate investing thing?
You know, it was funny. They were having one of those one-day events, or the, I forget what they call them, but one of the one days kind of right near the house.
Free workshop?
The free workshop, yeah. So yeah. I went to that, and I want to say it was J.B. Durham maybe doing it. And I thought, you know, I got, at least got to do this financial freedom program and kind of take the two-day and just hear what they have to say.
Yeah, J.D. Data Durham, that's his nickname. Yeah. He's forgotten more about real estate than we'll ever know. He actually taught real estate at, I believe it was University of North Texas, but I know he was a professor and taught it. But what a great asset. That guy's just a really great speaker. Okay, so you did the free workshop. What was going through your mind? I mean, I remember doing my workshop, and I thought I was some sort of financial guy, and I realized how little I really knew.
You know, I had the two properties already, and I really thought I knew what was going on. I went to the free workshop and kind of thought I still know what's going on, but figured I'd hear it out anyway. And then the two-day hit me really hard.
In a good way. Wham! Yeah, it's either a whatever metaphor you want to use, you know, a hard punch in the nose, a bucket of cold water. But I'm with you. I had a rental property prior to joining Lifestyles, and I was like, man, I'm doing okay. And I got in there, and I'm like, I didn't know about that. I felt pretty small, actually, but I was excited at the same time because of the strategies, just to how really fast track it. So let's talk about your first rentals prior to Lifestyles Unlimited. You purchased those the traditional way, 20% down. What changed after that as a Lifestyles Unlimited member? Did you come up with a plan, a thought, or did you just take a pause? What happened there?
Well, I wanted to get in because we had a little lump of money So I wanted to get into passive apartments. I got my first one, put in basically most of the money I had, and I really didn't have too much left over. Then I figured, okay, I'll go the single family route because I did buy into this program, and I just wanted to basically utilize it. So I started looking at the blasts and eventually started buying single family from there.
Okay, so you did a multifamily passive investment. That was your first prior to going back to houses. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, let's talk about that. What was that deal? Where'd you invest, and how'd it turn out?
So that one was in Lexington, Kentucky. It turned out pretty well. It was kind of a tougher one and a tougher time, but it ended up paying me back. Got all my money back. Got a little bit more. So all in all, it was a fair deal.
At any point, so you invest in a multifamily, and I'm in a bunch of them myself. That being your first step into our program, were you discouraged? At any point did you go, my gosh, I think I made a mistake? Or was that your first thoughts and then it changed as the property developed? Because you're fresh, right? You're getting these reports from the lead. There's probably thoughts going through your mind because you just didn't have the experience of doing it before.
Yeah, I was really excited to get in, talk to the lead. I want to say it was right around 4th of July. And what was really scary was actually wiring the money over, because here you're new into this thing, you're whipping out $50,000, and every time you go through the wire, they say, are you sure you know this person? Are you sure you're good?
Yes.
It's just really scary.
My bank even calls me about 3 hours after I initiate a wire, and just to make sure, because there's so much fraud in the wiring side of it, so I appreciate the stop gaps we have to make sure we're getting the correct information securely in regard to the wire. But yeah, I can imagine a little handshake, a little, oh my gosh, what are we doing? You know, your wife's looking at you funny. Just all that goes with it. So when did you begin to feel comfortable with that particular property?
That one was probably a couple years in, about a year in.
Okay. You got all your money back. When was this investment made?
I want to say it was 2018 when I joined. I think I joined in somewhere around February, and I got in right around July.
Okay, still not a bad time. I mean, the doldrums were 2022, really, with a lot of those interest-only loans. So 2018, not bad. You got all your money back. Did you get any distributions, cash flow, during the hold?
We got one little one, and then not really much until the sale.
Okay, and then you get your money back, and then plus a little piece on top of that?
Yep.
Okay, not bad. You know what? Hey, I'll take a single. Better than striking out any day of the week, or better than not playing in the game, or a double, however you want to call it, right? You know, we invest in these things, and I've had some turn out to be grand slams that I had no idea, and I've had others turn out to be singles. But we just keep plugging away. Okay, so you went back to single-family homes, and I understand you used hard money with your next purchase.
Yeah, so I talked to Joe Flores, and I was kind of asking him. He was kind of telling me his thing. He was in San Antonio area, so I said, all right, I'm doing San Antonio too. I just basically took a dartboard and said, I need to pick something and follow through with it. So I ended up getting a blast, and it's funny on those blast emails, how many of them in hindsight I look back on, and I wish I would have done. I mean, I would have done a ton more, but I just didn't know at the time. This one I got was kind of a big rehab. I want to say somewhere on the $30,000 rehab, and went ahead and pulled the trigger and followed through, and it ended up being a really good deal.
Okay, so just for the listener, you're in San Jose, California, and you're purchasing a property in San Antonio, you know, 6-7 states away. How'd you pull that off? How'd you manage that?
So through the vendor list, there was a new vendor that just came online. I ended up meeting him. That was a little scary too, because you're sending him $10,000 for a house that you think you just bought.
And, yeah, that you haven't even seen. You purchased a home all the way into San Antonio, Texas, and you used a strategy we talk about. And I want to talk about this strategy because I had never heard of it prior to joining Lifestyles Unlimited. And that's a strategy of hard money. Brian, tell us how you found a hard money lender, what that was like, and what it did for you on this particular property.
So I ended up basically the vendor list. There's a couple of them that a lot of people use. Picked one of them. Most of the time, they're about the same rates. Knew I was only going to be in it for about a month, maybe a month and a half. They ended up loaning me the money for the whole thing. I came out of pocket about $25,000. They did some of the repairs. Every time they'd do a repair, we'd do a draw request. They'd send an inspector over. They'd refund me the money, or basically fund me the money so I could pay my contractor. And we did that probably about three times during the process, and ended up putting a roof on, remodeled the kitchen a little, paint, flooring, and got the place looking pretty sharp.
Excellent. And I want to clarify for the listener. So a hard money loan is different than a conventional loan, in that the hard money lender will take a look at the property, and then they'll also take a look at the scope of repairs that are planned for the property. Based on that, they will compute what we call an after repaired value. So this house is in bad shape now, but once we fix it up, it's going to be worth this. So Brian, you came out of pocket $25,000. The hard money loan essentially paid for the rehab. What was your after repaired value of this property, and what kind of equity capture did you receive?
You know, I think I'm bad with numbers on the spot, but I think it was somewhere around $210,000 was the after repair value.
Yeah.
And I want to say I bought it for somewhere around $115,000 or something like that.
Beautiful. Yeah, shooting from the hip is fine. Let's say you're off by $5,000. Big deal. So that is quite an equity capture that you received on that property using our model. At any point, and I ask this for personal reasons. So I bought the perfect home prior to Lifestyles Unlimited and rented it out because I thought you had to have just a magnificent property to attract a renter. And what I learned is people rent it at all different levels. We just have to have clean and functional, best property, best price, managed by the best people. But it was difficult for me to go buy, and I don't want to call the home a junker, but, you know, there's a list of adjectives you can describe it. And it was beat up. And at first, I even tried to back out of the deal, and the guy selling it to me, that exposed me to the property at Lifestyles Unlimited, he just, you know, kind of held me down and said, Mike, if you don't buy it, 20 other people will buy it. But I just couldn't get it through my mind, you know, how beat up this house was. So I was worried I was throwing my money away and getting into something that wasn't going to work out. Were you worried at all during the process, or were you confident enough in what you'd learned at Lifestyles to move forward?
I was pretty confident. The only fear was the just how far away I was and how much control I had, because I'm a contractor by trade. I'm an electrician, but I've also built my own house. So I've done all the work like that. This one was scary because I knew there were dogs in the place beforehand, and they'd scratch at the door. And if you were to ring the doorbell, you can actually put your finger straight through and wiggle it through the house because there was a hole in the wall. So, this one definitely, as David Fisher said, had buck teeth.
That's awesome. I love it because anyone would freak out. I brought my wife to a house that I bought. I was so excited that I got it, and I brought her over there, and I call it the Noah's Ark house because these people had more pets than a zoo. And I mean, it stunk. It was just bad. Her eyes watered. She ran out of there after about 20 seconds, but turned out to be a beautiful rental. You know, you get a good GC that caters to the investor community, they're going to do it right. Okay, so you got the first one, you got it stabilized. What's going on with that property? Do you still own it? Has it run full cycle? Tell us about the lifespan of that first rental.
So I actually flew out there when they were getting ready to lease it. I hired Lifestyles Realty to find me a tenant. But I flew out there. I stayed a night in the house. Of course, I didn't do much work, but I'm an electrician, so I wanted to replace some of the plugs and make them bright and white. They ended up finding a tenant. I actually got to meet the tenant when I flew out there, and I have the same tenant there now. Here we are, what, 5 years later, six years later, same tenant. We raised the rent every month. Now I started raising it more gently. I think it's about $25 a year just because they're great, great tenants.
Yeah.
I ended up about a year ago, my interest rate to start out was a little bit higher. For whatever reason, when I bought it was higher, and then it kept creeping down. So I wanted to do a cash out refi.
Yeah,
I had about $25,000 into the property originally. and I did a cash out refi. I didn't get all of it out, but I think I got somewhere around $22,000 back out of it.
Okay, so almost 100% pull just on a refi, and that's tax free because you're just putting extra debt on the property. Nothing wrong with that. And the same resident living in the house for 5 years. Beautiful. That, I mean, that's exactly what we teach. That's exactly how we want this to go. Okay, so that wasn't good enough for you. You got through that and you wanted more, right? It's like a Pringle chip. You can't just have one. You started looking around. You had a, if I'm reading this right, you had a rental in Idaho. How's a guy from California end up with a rental in Idaho? You mentioned your grandfather lived there.
Yeah, so I bought that one 20% down.
Oh, that was one of the initial, that was one of your initial buys. Okay.
Yeah. So I was on a show with a case study with David Fisher, and I was kind of mumbling, going, yeah, I got this house with a lot of equity. And I said, there's a phrase that Dell uses. I don't remember what it is. And he kind of mumbled, you can't get rich slow. And it really stuck with me and kind of burned me. And I said, you know, I got to sell that property. I just had way too much equity in it.
Okay. And we've got a little bit of time here, but you sold that and you utilized a 1031 exchange. And I want to explain what a 1031 exchange is, and they're going to push us out on a break. But for the listener, a 1031 exchange, and many people haven't heard of it, is it's a rule with the IRS, and it enables you to sell a property, and you've got a lot of equity in it. And the IRS is going to say, hey, bro, you owe me a piece of that profit for capital gains. And you say, well, I'm going to put it into this other property. I'll catch up with you later. And that's essentially how it works out. More on the other side.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the show. Proudly sitting in for Del Wamsley. It's Mike Harrison. I cover the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, if you've ever heard that. But Dell's on vacation, and I'm sure it's somewhere magnificent. So, Dell, I hope you're resting up and enjoying your time off. I have Brian Brown on the show, Lifestyles Unlimited member. Brian is a single-family and multifamily investor from San Jose, California. So, Brian, you had this rental property in Idaho, had a ton of equity in it. We call that dead equity. It's not doing anything for you. It's just sitting in this property. And you identified the equity as a means to purchase more properties. Now, how'd you hear about the 1031 exchange? Because you did that to maximize essentially the new purchase of real estate. How'd you even hear of that, or were you aware of that prior to Lifestyles Unlimited?
Yeah, so I heard about it at a two-day. I think everybody at Lifestyles knows Luann, but she was a vendor on the vendors list. And yeah, I just talked to her and figured out how to do it.
Excellent. Did you find the process difficult?
No, it was actually really easy. The hardest thing to do was sell, because you know you have that money there, and it's just difficult to decide to pull the trigger and sell.
Gotcha. So again, just to explain the 1031 exchange, it's an exchange of real estate for more real estate, like kind. And it allows you to essentially give the IRS an IOU. Okay, when you sell a property, let's say you get $150,000 back, right? That's the profit you made selling the property. The IRS is going to tap you on the shoulder, and they're going to give you that sad look and go, you know what you need to do. You need to pay me a chunk of that. And what you do is you say, no, I'm buying more real estate, like kind. I'm going to roll my obligation to pay you those capital gains into these new properties, and I'll catch up with you later, IRS. And that's in a nutshell, real basic, what that exchange is. But it allows you to defer the capital gains taxes, and you can use that money for the purchase of new property. So, Brian, you really ramped it up here. You purchased 3 properties in San Antonio with the money from 1 rental that you had in Idaho. What did that do? How'd your cash flow change, your monthly cash flow?
So the Idaho house was only cash flowing me about $150, maybe $100 after property management fees. And so when I did the 1031, I ended up buying the 3 properties, and I ended up self-managing all 3 of those. And they were cash flowing probably around about $400 a piece. So I went from making about $150 to making, about $1,200 a month.
Holy cow. Or in financial terms, that's a 1,200% increase on your return. Tell me where you can do that with taxes, make a 1,200% return. That's incredible. 100 to 1,200. Man, if that doesn't get your juices flowing, nothing will. And you still own those properties now?
I do have them. I actually, one of them still has the same tenant. And I think the other two, I think I've had to replace the tenants maybe once. But yeah, they've been doing well.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. And again, people worry about having the property, you know, tenants, toilets, taxes. And if you fix everything going in, and you have the best product, best price, managed by the best people, those folks are going to stay. I mean, moving's a beating, right? No one wants to move. So if you can stay in a certain place and it's comfortable and works for you as a person, you're going to continue renting unless you absolutely have to move. So just the way we do it, we're not slumlords. We're not trying to nickel and dime some property. We have great properties, and that's a different philosophy than what a lot of people think being and we don't call ourselves landlords, but a lot of people think being a real estate property owner is all about. Okay, so Brian, you've got now you're down to, I guess, 4 houses, right? 5 houses. Is that correct?
I think, yeah, 5 houses at that time.
Okay. Did you turn back to multifamily investing at this point?
I did, and I don't remember the timeline, but I've been buying a couple, just picking them up here and there.
Okay, so you've got the houses on one side. Now it's time to go back to the multifamily leg of the stool. I see that you've invested in 7 apartment communities passively. What do you look for in a good investment as a multifamily investor?
Like they say, it's the jockey. I mean, I'm just looking for somebody that I know can do it. Met them personally. I know the first one I did, I didn't meet him. I talked to him on the phone quite a bit. But then I started actually meeting these leads and just kind of making sure they knew what they were talking about and had previous success.
Okay, so you like the feeling you got after meeting the lead investor, or for someone... That's really a term we use at Lifestyles Unlimited, the syndicator, right? The lead principal on purchasing these apartment communities. How are you meeting these folks? You're all the way in San Jose, California.
So one of them that I've invested with quite a bit, he was a local person that then moved to Arizona. So I met him that way. And then just a few of the other ones through some of these aspiring lead meetups, virtual meetups and stuff like that.
Okay, excellent, right? You've got internet, you've got a computer. We do a lot of virtual meetups. You've got a guy that was local to California that's now in Arizona, and Arizona is a hot area for us as investors. I mean, we're investing all over Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, Indiana, Arizona, Tennessee. Yeah, I said Tennessee, but it's all over the place, and I probably left 5 or 6 states off. Oh, Ohio and Missouri. I'm an investor in both of those states as well. So live where you want and invest where you want. Okay, so you like the lead. I think that's important, too. Some of the best advice I received from a super passive was, if you can't sit down and have dinner and a conversation with this person for 3 hours, you probably shouldn't invest with them. So how's that for the warm fuzzy? Do you look for a certain return prior, or value play, yield? Is there anything that's important to you, or just if you like it, you're in it?
Yeah, I'm still young, so I'm looking for value plays. Most of the stuff I've been in hasn't really produced for the first year because it kind of takes a while to kind of get going. So I'm more of a value just because my age, I'm young. I have a job right now. I don't need the return. So I'm looking for a bigger payout.
Okay, good. So the value play might not pay for a year, maybe even 2 years, but it's a big gain on the backside because we're really taking a dilapidated apartment community. And it takes a while to turn these around. You got to get the bad residents out. You got to get the bad management out, put the good management in. There's a lot of capital expense on fixing these properties up. I mean, I've walked properties that haven't been updated, and this is going to sound insane, for 30 or 40 years. I've walked 80s properties, and it's, if you can imagine, original paint, original carpet, original appliances. I mean, it's terrible, but yeah, you got to fix everything, and it takes a while to turn it. Brian, some key lessons you've learned as a passive investor. You shared with us that the most important thing to you is the captain of the ship, the lead running the deal. Any other lessons?
No, not that I can think of offhand. You put me on the spot.
All right. I've kind of, over the years, generated some things that, I don't want a lead that's got more than 4 or 5 properties because I think you can't date all the girls at one time. I try to limit my coastal exposure to about 10% of my net worth. I've had a ton of money in Texas, which Texas is great. I'm trying to throw some more, get my portfolio, I guess, with a higher percentage of investment outside of Texas, right? Just spread it around. So that's some things that I'm doing. But Brian, you're in a place where I was a few years back, a mixture of both single family and multifamily investments. Where are you now? Are you prioritizing one over the other? You still in the house game? What's going on with you?
You know, I'm kind of getting tired of managing the properties myself. I am looking, there's a small market in the Midwest that I'm kind of looking at for single family, but I'm really looking towards more passive stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I know the feeling. I mean, just passive is so easy. It's hard not to, right? But the returns in the single family homes are rather enticing. Where I want to go is you're doing something that a lot of us think about, that want to do, but you've actually pulled the trigger. You've got 3 kids, and I understand your children are already co-owners in some of your investments. I think that's fantastic. How'd that come about, and what are they learning as real estate investors themselves?
Yeah, so they each came up with a chunk of money. My grandparents ended up, they were either going to give it their 529 or give them a chunk of money cash. So they gave them a chunk of money. We decided to put it to work. My son and I bought a house together 50-50 in Michigan, and he's going to end up refinancing, or basically getting financing on it to buy me out, and then that way he'll own it himself outright.
Awesome. How old's your son?
He actually just turned 20, 2 days ago.
20 years old, part owner of his first rental. You realized that once he gets his, essentially gets a taste of this, he's going to turn it on. I mean, I wish I started at 20. Tell me about your other kids. What's their interest level? I have 3 kids myself, and I find their interest levels vary depending on which child. I mean, I've got one that's really into it and 2 that are so-so, but they're coming around.
Yeah, so my middle son and my daughter, they're, 17 and 13, and they're kind of hands-off. They keep talking about it, saying, yeah, we're interested, but they haven't really shown too much interest, not as much as my older one. Hopefully it'll come in time. But they both had their chunk of money sitting around, and I said, well, I can take that money and put it into a multifamily. So I ended up getting them a passive multifamily deal.
I tell you, they're picking up more than you know, because I'll even ask a question at times on real estate, and the one you think's not paying the most attention will answer it. So I've got funds set aside for mine as well, and we talk about it occasionally. I just want them to be more financially savvy. I mean, this is just stuff we don't teach, unfortunately. And they're basic principles. These principles are hundreds of years old. So, Brian, you made a statement. You said you want each of your kids to have $100,000 net worth. How are you planning to get there? I mean, your son's almost there with that house. I don't know what your equity is, but I bet he's pretty darn close. But how do you plan on getting there?
So through the passive multifamily, we have my goal is by the time my daughter turns 18. So I have a couple of years. So I'm hoping this passive deal sort of plays out. And then I'm assuming once they get closer to 18, they'll start kind of thinking about getting their own single family, especially watching their brother doing it, watching me doing it. They've already gotten some out of the passive investment. They've already gotten some cash flow out of it. So, yeah, just through rinse and repeat.
Now you've taught them. I hope you teach. Do you know who John Pry is? One of our more active passives. So I love John Pry, good fellow Texas Aggie. But he says, don't eat your seed corn. And what he's talking about is when you do a refinance or when you sell a property, you have a big chunk of money. You don't go out and buy a new car. You go buy more real estate. Have you taught them that principle?
Yeah. So the cars we own, the newest car we own is a 2007, I think. And I've talked to my wife. We've got plenty of these cash out refis. Most of my passive apartments have done cash out refis now. And every time we get a chunk of money, it goes straight back in another deal. We just can't pull the trigger on a new car yet.
I love it. I think that's fantastic. And, you know, a lot of that stuff, as your net worth goes up, means less to you. It's kind of amazing how that happens, right? The toys and the shiny stuff. I'd rather have an extra zero in my bank account, honestly. You've already doubled your net worth since joining Lifestyles Unlimited. What's next, and how do you plan on doubling it again?
So just through, the rinse and repeat, the keep buying, and the cash flow is amazing how much cash flow starts to come in after you get this amount of properties. Of course, maintenance. You have maintenance every month, but the cash flow is pretty good, and it seems like every few months I can buy another deal. So it's been going well.
Yeah, you just keep building the cash flow snowball, which it's an incredible principle, and I've taught the cash flow snowball class at Expo. So, yeah, you just keep building it up and feeding it and feeding it and feeding it. So, Brian, are you where you thought you would be financially, mentally, spiritually when joining Lifestyles Unlimited? If you said, okay, hey, I'm going to look forward 7 years, and here's where I think I will be when I joined, how do you feel on that?
I told the wife that's what was going to happen, but I didn't believe it myself. it's definitely worked. I know the first time that I got over 100% return on one of the passive deals, I was like, wow, this really did work. So yeah, I didn't expect it to work as well as it has.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a good feeling. Celebrate the wins. Any thoughts or advice, someone listening right now, and we have a lot of people, I mean, you listened for 10 years. I listened for at least 2 years before doing it. And then I joined Lifestyles Unlimited. It still took me 6 months to buy a property. What would you say to someone out there who's on the edge and, like, you know, keeps telling themselves they want to do this, but they just don't do it?
You know, just do the financial freedom. I mean, at least get started. I kept saying I wasn't going to do it. When I actually attended the 2-day, my wife didn't go.
Yeah.
And when I actually went, I said, hey, I'm not taking my checkbook. I'm not signing up for this whole the next level thing. And sure enough, I did. And she was very frustrated, to say the least. And then she ended up looking at the 2-day. And she's not really into real estate, but she had my back the whole time. But she definitely wasn't excited to begin with. But it's definitely worked out.
That's wonderful. That's similar to me. My wife's kind of like, what are you doing? But go do it. Signed up. And then... when I went to the challenge level, I wrote a check for that, but I already had 5 houses, so I had her interest, right? And now she's kind of like, hey, what is this thing? Wrote a check for the challenge. She was a little, you know, kind of like, what are we doing? But then when it came time to go preferred, which is a big check, even though it's an education expense for the tax man out there, she was like, yeah, let's go. So she's full on, and we're rolling along, and it's a great experience. Brian, I want to thank you for taking the time, and for the rest of you out there, I want you to remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Make it a great day.
you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.